It's 9:13 here on your Tuesday morning. We're on the phone with David John, CEO and president of My Michigan Medical Center. Sue, I still want to say War Memorial Hospital. I have to force myself to say that, but it'll get more normal, and I'm sure that you guys are a little bit more used to saying the new name, right?
Yeah, we are, but there's still times where, you know, we're saying War Memorial or we're saying Mid-Michigan instead of My Michigan. So
right.
There's two name changes in there that we have to deal with, but it's getting better.
How is the transition going, Dave?
It's going well. You know, a lot of work and you know, some quick wins that we received, and you know, but there's still a lot of work that's ongoing, and you know, trying to communicate as much as possible with our staff of what's happening. And you know, the one thing that we'll be working on right next is you know, they have requirements for uniform colors,
right?
And you know, whatever your job duty is, like RNs will wear navy blue, and you know, it goes down. There's about 10 different departments, maybe more, that will be required to wear scrubs and certain color scrubs, so patients and visitors can identify them as a nurse or as a food nutrition worker, as a housekeeper, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think end of April here, there's a company that's going to come up and have a scrub fitting fair. And, you know, each of our employees, depending on their, you know, status and what union contract they're under, will get 2 to 3 sets of new uniforms that, you know, the organization will pay for. And, you know, the scrubs have to be embroidered with the My Michigan Medical Center Sioux logo and all that stuff. We're hopeful after the first time that we'll be able to work with some local vendors to be able to allow, you know, them to do that, and so local employees can shop locally to get those scrubs.
Right, yeah. I knew that. I knew that was coming. Yeah, my wife, who was an LPN, was saying, yeah, they're going to be, she's not sure what color she's wearing, but she said that we're going to be doing that, and they were going to be the embroidered scrubs, which I think is a great idea, you know? I think that
I think that'll
be good for the employees, maybe not, isn't, you know, well, I guess RNs already wear a specific color scrub, but I mean, I think it's better for the public to help them identify, like you said, you know, who's what in the hospital.
Right. Yeah. No, we have a few right now. I mean, RNs wear a certain color, housekeeping wears a certain color, food nutrition wears a certain color. So it's not totally new, but there's some expanded colors that some departments will wear, and you know, change is always you know, a time of anxiety, and it'll be fine, and everybody will get through it. But you know, if you're from a department that you never had to wear a color from before, you might think, well, why are we doing this? But it's truly, you know, for the patients and visitors benefit, you know, when something's needed, that they know who to find.
Right. So, Dave, I know that whenever a transition or anything like this goes with a business or whatever, there's like, you have like a punch list of things that you got to kind of get through and everything for that process to take place. What's the biggest thing right now on your list of things that has to be done as you look towards this integration with My Michigan Health?
Well, the biggest thing is going through all policies and procedures and making sure, you know, we're consistent. So each integration team is working on that. And basically it's, you know, one where here's the My Michigan Midland policy, here's the old former War Memorial policy, and how do they relate? Are they similar? Does one or the other have advantages, or is it a better policy? And then to you know, figure that out and then implement it. And you know, we have two different software systems where we house our policies. So at some point in time, you know, we'll have to move over to their system because theirs is a little better system than ours. But policies mainly to make sure, you know, there's consistency. And you know, the good thing about that for our end is that if we have a better policy, they will adopt it for the whole system. And, right. and you know, if they have a better policy, I tell people, well, why wouldn't we adopt it? I mean, it's a better policy, so we're going to make improvements by adopting their policy. So it's really been a win-win situation. It's not something where, here's this health system and these are our policies and you have to implement them and you don't have any say in it. You know, that's a tougher one because, maybe we do have a better policy, and at least my Michigan is realizing that if we are doing something better, that they will implement it for their whole system.
It seems like that would be a really tedious process, but once you got done, it's kind of done, and then you're just kind of updating it as things go along.
Right. There's thousands of policies.
Right.
You can imagine, every department has policies and how many departments we have, and, so it is a lot of work. Obviously, some of them are fairly easy probably to resolve because we have pretty much the same policy. It's more of a matter of format or how it reads, how it's set up, and those things are easier for sure, but it takes a lot of time and there's a lot of people doing a lot of work on it.
We're getting a little closer to spring, and I know that you had said before that once spring hits and everything, people start seeing the outward sign and some of the new logos and things going up on buildings and signage and things like that. Is there a plan for that at this point, or you're still kind of waiting for the weather to break more?
There's a plan for it. We're waiting for the weather to break so we can actually, dig into the ground and bring in new signs. But I would think that, the signs have been developed and, the information on the signs has been pretty much agreed to. It's a matter of, the sign company being able to install them.
Sure.
So I would hope by the end of May, all the new signage would be up. But then again, a lot of that's weather dependent too. And the way spring is coming kind of slow, who knows if they'll even be able to start digging by the first part of May.
All right. We're talking to David John, President and CEO of My Michigan Medical Center. Sue, I really have to deliberately say it until it becomes ingrained in me. Dave, we always talk about, besides this that's been kind of going on at the hospital for a while, improvements in both the service and adding services and physicians and anything that you can report on, new doctors coming in, new services coming to the War Memorial. My Michigan Medical Center, Sue.
We were fortunate to come to an agreement with Dr. Thelak Chander. I think it was the 1st of March he became a War Memorial employee. Dr. Chander's been an independent internal medicine physician for many years and had his own office building, down on Ashman Street. And now he has brought his practice to our organization, and he is located in what we call our Magazine Street building, which is the Dr. O'Connor's office building. So Dr.
Right.
O'Connor and Dr. Chander are in that building together, along with one of our pediatricians, Dr. Beckman. Dr. Chander had a large following, and he figured, hey, it's time because it's too hard to practice independently. It's sort of like us, mm-hmm. There's a certain point where there's just too many things to do, and you can't do what you really need to. And by joining us, he now can concentrate on patient care and doesn't have to worry about the billing issues and all those things. So that's a nice addition for us. We have a new ER doctor coming in the summer, Dr. Benjamin Gluck, and he actually was just here last week, kind of shadowing and getting ready to start in July. We have a new general surgeon coming in the fall, so it's a little ways off. A new oncologist coming, Dr. Sardar. He will start in the summer. That's big because we haven't had a permanent full-time oncologist for a few years now. Mm-hmm. We've piecemealed it together, but and it's worked, but it's not the best. And actually, right now, we probably have one of the best staffing models we've had. We've got two physicians who have been covering via telemedicine and also on-site 1 week a month, Dr. Krajewski and Dr. Muhammad. And they've really picked up the number of patients that we're able to see and how quickly oncology patients can get in. And then once Dr. Sardar gets here, it'll even be better because those other two will still stick around. So we'll actually have three oncologists probably together. They make two full-time oncologists, but that's great for the community as well.
Awesome. And I know that when this whole merger or whatever we want to call it with MyMichigan Health came along, there was a talk about they wanted to invest in the hospital as far as new services and everything, and they made a commitment to that over a period of time. I know we're still in the infancy of the new hospital name and being involved with MyMichigan Health, but is there a plan out there as far as something? I know last time we talked, I think you said you really wanted to maybe get a new surgical suite built at the hospital.
Be a fourth OR. Mm-hmm. Yeah, plans are in the works. Actually, the board a couple weeks ago approved proposal to do a master facility plan study through a company, that will start here shortly. At the same time, we'll be engaging a construction manager to give us pricing on it. But what that strategic plan for facilities will be is going out and looking at our current facilities, going out and looking at the data on where people are getting care, what services they're going out of town for, and then putting a plan together to say, okay, here's the priorities, and then to develop, which one is going to be the first priority.
Sure.
And so I would think that'll take, 8 to 12 weeks, and sometime in midsummer we'll have a plan, and we'll probably be able to announce what the first project will be. Now, we did, find out in the RFP process for a master facility plan that one of the big things that we have to address first is the infrastructure of our current buildings. So, some of the new stuff is good, and I don't know that you'd call it new anymore, but, in 86, we built the patient tower, so that's 36 years old already, so
right.
It's not like it's new. But we have a 1924 building that is where the old hospital was, and it's the kind of the one story on the west side of the hospital, and in there is all the infrastructure, the boilers, there's a tunnel that goes to the main hospital with all the, HVAC stuff and everything else, and that is in major need of replacement, and we can't really expand into building new buildings until we get that addressed. So
sure.
The first project may be things that people don't even see from the outside. It's making sure you have the infrastructure to do those new buildings in the future.
Yeah, and obviously that's a big part of it, because you got to make sure you got the heat and everything else and the right electrical and all that stuff to expand. So I guess that does make sense.
Yeah, and that 1924 building is almost 100 years old.
Right.
So, how long is that going to hold up to? And do you need to make a whole new, like at Lake State, they have their big facilities plant, mm-hmm. where have all their boilers and all their heat, and then they feed it to all the other buildings on campus. So, do you design something like that and take it right out of the hospital itself and put it in a building adjacent to the hospital that can feed everything? So those are all the things that the master facility plan will look at and give us our priorities.
For sure. Anything else we want to talk about that before? Because we really, I mean, we've kind of reversed it here. We haven't really talked much about COVID because, you know, we had the health department on last week, and it seems like, despite the fact that we've had some deaths and everything, it seems like COVID's kind of calmed down a little bit.
Yeah, it has. You know, I don't, as of yesterday, we didn't have any COVID patients in the hospital. And what you're seeing now is that because we still test all admissions and all surgeries, a lot of times when we get a COVID patient, it's not that they're here for COVID, they're here for something else.
Right.
And they just happen to be COVID positive. So that's good news. I know, you know, we have very few employees off with COVID. It's still around, but this variant is much less severe than any of the other variants. So that's good as well. We hope that continues. So yeah, we're doing good there. I know they just came out with a recommended fourth dose you know, for people 50 years and older and immunocompromised. We haven't really looked at doing anything with that yet because it's so new, and we want to make sure that, you know, it's right in where we want to go. But I know the health department and the local pharmacies have the vaccine available, and for those that would like to get a fourth dose, who are over 50 years old, they can get that. You know, we're hopeful that by the fall of this year that these companies will have developed and have approved a kind of a combination flu shot COVID vaccine that you can get one shot and be protected for, you know, for the next flu season.
Right.
So that would be nice instead of getting all these boosters and, you know, everything else, just get one shot a year and have it be part of, you know, the regular flu shot as well.
Right.
Don't know if science will have that developed by then or not, but, you know, so far, you know, we aren't mandating anybody to get, you know, the third or fourth booster. You know, the mandate that came out said that, you know, everybody in healthcare either has to have been vaccinated, fully vaccinated in that regard is two shots, and if not, they need to have a religious waiver or a medical exemption. And you know, fortunately, all of our staff either were vaccinated or had one of those waivers, so we didn't have to terminate anybody.
Right.
So that's good news. And I think we have 113 out of 900. People who have some sort of waiver, which is a fairly low percentage. I think CMS is going to come in and survey anybody who has over, I think it's over a 25% waiver rate, and we're definitely under 25%.
Right.
So most of our employees have gotten vaccinated, and we'll meet that standard.
So, Dave, you know, you mentioned the combo flu COVID shot possibility in the fall. I know that this time last year we were kind of on the wave of weather was getting better, cases went down, and once we hit the fall and everything, things kind of picked back up and everything, and through the winter and everything. If we don't see that trend, or we don't see that shot again in, like you said, the combo shot with the flu and the COVID shot in the fall, are you concerned that maybe next winter we might go through a similar roller coaster with COVID?
I'm not as concerned because, you know, the variants seem to be less aggressive and, you know, less people getting sick enough to be admitted. I mean, you know, before we knew about COVID, there was the regular flu, and there were people who got admitted with the regular flu, and there were people who passed away from the regular flu. And, you know, COVID hopefully is trending that same way. It's going to be out there. It's going to be something you have to worry about if you're elderly or, you know, immunocompromised. But for the general public, it won't be any more than a regular cold in the future.
Right.
And I know, you know, right now you read a lot about, well, China's shutting down and this and that and whatever and the new variant. But when you really look into it, you know, China is looking at how many cases they had compared to the last 2 years, and because they were so strict, they didn't have many cases. So that's why their case numbers are so much, because you know, this new variant is spreading more rapidly. But at the same time, if you look at the hospitalizations or the deaths, they're not any larger. And you know, really, that's the key, I think, to any disease that comes through. Okay, how many people are dying from it, and how many admissions are you having? And I think, you know, at least listening and looking at the experts who from the infection control side of things, they said this COVID virus is following the usual life cycle of a virus, and there's new variants being you know, created by the virus on a consistent basis, but every variant along the way gets less and less risky, and so that's what I'm hoping happens, and we won't have to go back to that end where, you know, we have to put restrictions on and whatever. But you know, you never know. You're a little gun shy right now because of what happened the last 2 years, and you hope it doesn't happen. But at least we're prepared, and we're willing to you know, take the steps that we need to protect our staff and protect the patients.
So, I'm sure I've asked you this before, but maybe now where we're at with COVID here, a couple years into it, and maybe it's waning a little bit, is there a point where you'll look at, you know, the pandemic itself, look at how you as a hospital reacted to it, and kind of look at maybe, you know, things that we did really well, maybe things that we learned during this past 2 years that maybe we need to improve in, kind of do an assessment after the fact as far as you know, response to the pandemic?
We've been doing that ongoing. So, you know, ever since the pandemic came in, you know, we're having meetings consistently to say, okay, what was the decision that was made? Was it the right decision? How could we do it better? And you know, we kind of do that on a consistent basis. So I will continue to do that, but
right.
I think we've changed things because of that type of process, and we'll continue to use it.
I would imagine that something like this was a, you know, I mean, obviously you could learn a lot of things as far as, you know, providing health care to people, you know, in the midst of a pandemic, and some of the things that you could learn, I imagine, you know, pretty impressive opportunity to make some changes if you felt necessary.
Yeah, and you know, some of the things that we've learned and have already implemented, you know, the whole telemedicine platform that's much more robust now than it ever was.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, you had to see a lot more people on telemedicine, so we've developed processes for that to make sure we're streamlining that for patients, and that's only going to expand. I know, you know, within the My Michigan system, you know, they're looking at, you know, what's called hospital at home. They're a pilot project, one of four in the state of Michigan. They're doing it just in Midland, but that's where somebody will stay at home instead of being in the hospital, but they'll still be considered a hospital patient.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for people who are sick with COVID, at least to a degree where they're not, like ICU capable or need an ICU, some of these people could stay at home, and the nurse would visit so many a day. The doctor would visit via telemedicine. The meals would be brought to them as though they were in the hospital. You know, the pharmaceuticals would be brought to them, and basically, it's a inpatient stay, but in your own house. And you know, that's a unique opportunity for the future.
Sure.
Because I can tell you this, I think 99% of the people who come to the hospital, if they could stay home and still be considered being in the hospital, they would make that choice.
Well, and I would think too, you have limited capacity as far as beds and things like that, so people that maybe don't need to be that, have that inpatient right there in the hospital, you know, bed or whatever. I mean, I think that obviously that expands your ability to treat more patients that way.
Right. Yeah, it is, and again, it's a pilot project, so you know, CMS would have to look at it and say to expand it, and mm-hmm. and you know, there's logistics with that as well.
Sure.
And you know, it would be a coordination of a bunch of things, but those are some of the things that we've seen that have changed. And you know, obviously, you know, I don't know what the fix is for the employment situation, because you know, we're still, as everybody continues to be short on employees and staff, mm-hmm. and you know, we're coming up to the time of the year where all the seasonal businesses are going to open, which, you know, when then we're all competing with each other for employees, and you know, we need to get more people out in the workforce to help help fill those openings.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add, Dave, before I let you go? Appreciate the time as always.
The only thing is that, you know, there's still been no new rules coming down from CMS or you know, the FDA or CDC about you know, being able not to wear masks in hospitals. So you're still required to wear masks when you come into our facility, and I know that can get a little contentious sometimes, because every place else in the whole community, you're not required to wear a mask. But mm-hmm. if you come to the hospital, you still have to have the mask on, and that's a requirement. We're hoping, you know, at some point during the summer here that they'll, you know, remove that mandate and we don't have to wear masks, but haven't heard anything on that yet. So just as a reminder, it's not that our people are trying to be mean or anything. That's the rules we have to play by, and if we allow people in without masks and we get surveyed, you know, we'll get fined for people in our organization not having masks on.
Well, and I know that there's other, like, you still have to wear a mask on an airplane and in public transportation and things like that, so I understand it. I mean, I know it can be, you know, for some people it's frustrating and everything, but hey, people are at the hospital to get better. They don't need your germs all over them. So,
right. So hopefully people understand, and mm-hmm. You know, we'll. I don't think it'll be a permanent mandate like forever,
right?
But maybe for another couple months yet.
For sure. Well, Dave, appreciate the time, and obviously everything that happens there at the hospital and the community. We appreciate all the staff there. Thanks, and we'll talk to you again next month.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right, David John, the CEO and president of My Michigan Medical Center, Sioux, joining us this morning here on 1230 WSOO.